Thank you so much for your introduction. I'd also really like to thank David and the Haqavi for including me in this really exciting lineup. And it's always a great pleasure to be in a session with me. And I look forward to aligning what we see and think about Arya's work, then also with Lani's work in the discussion afterwards. So I'm going to speak about a decade of work, nearly a decade of work, in which this artist focuses almost exclusively on making videos with corpses in a morgue and doing various kinds of things around these scenes and around these corpses. David's asked me to speak for 35 minutes, so please cut me off. It's 4:49 now, if it's too long. But it won't be too long. Okay. Why am I speaking about this decade of her work? I think that it's actually foundational, not only for the way in which Araya manages to establish herself as an artist, especially internationally, but maybe also nationally. I think that what she does, what we will see her do now, is also foundational for some of the conceptual and pedagogic moves that she makes over and over again in her work in different ways. Making Contact was the title of a collection of video works on death that Araya Ratchamroyansok presented at the 2005 Venice Biennale. Her performance videos were exhibited in the Thai Pavilion, where they were juxtaposed with the work of the late Montien Bun Ma, an established older male artist. The title of the joint Thai exhibition, which was presented at an old convent in Venice, was Those Dying Wishing to Stay, Those Living Preparing to Leave. Araya's performance videos were installed in the cloister walk of the convent, where they were projected onto screens hung just slightly above the memorial slabs that cover the walk's floor. In the video, This Is Our Creation, that we see here, the artist could be seen lying on the ground among six corpses, softly speaking a poetic text and singing a children's song. Conversation 1-3 showed her sitting with and humming to corpses in a carefully timed video collage. And in the class and death seminar, Araya taught classes on the subject of death to the dead. Making Contact with the Dead was not new work for Araya. The Venice videos culminate the artist's almost decade-long occupation with death, roughly from 1997 until 2006. In this talk, I investigate Araya's willed, long-term history of intimacy and exchange with the dead, not for her treatment of mourning, but rather for how the artist sketches out a feminist anatomy of desire in an idiom of negativity. In so doing, I keep in mind the artist's explicit pedagogic intent to initiate public discussions on femininity and sexuality in Thailand, and will be able to link this back to some of the things that May has already presented. Since 1997, Araya had returned over and over again to a hospital morgue in Chiang Mai in northern Thailand to film corpses in different scenes and arrangements. Having stated at one point that she could not make art about life anymore, but only about death, she takes the viewer through recurrent scenes of predominantly female death in these videos. The artist reads passages from Thai classical literature, as you heard in video number 2, or from her own erotic writing, sings to, converses with, and dresses the corpses. While her performances have typically been read as expressing affects around grief, I argue that more fundamentally they draw loss and death into relation with issues of femininity, desire, and sexuality. These works from the late 1990s to the mid-2000s situate longing and sexuality in a highly abstracted and dehistoricized domain. Yet they proffer critiques of women's current erotic possibilities and pick up on and defamiliarize popular conventions of depicting female death and attachment to the dead female body in Thailand. All of Araya's videos on death and desire are approximately 4 to 10 minutes long when they are shown in installations. Most frequently, or actually almost always, exhibited in the mode of installation, the videos at times incorporate site-specific elements, such as what you just saw in Venice. and position the viewer in certain spatial relations to the works. In these videos with corpses, in the hygienic clinical environment of the morgue, the artist directs discourses of longing towards objects of desire who could no longer respond. And this, I would argue, is a conceptual move that repeats in some form in much of the work that follows. Her reconfiguration of relationality thus relies on eroticizing contingency and performing reversals between the living and the dead. The particular status of the dead, their inability to give consent, or their lack of noticeable agency in this setup, allows the artist to push questions of desire and agency to unfamiliar limits. Since the 1980s, Araya's work had continually problematized what it means for women to make their desires publicly known. But her work from the late 1990s was moreover produced during a time when the Thai public sphere became increasingly explicitly sexualized, and national cultural identity and citizenship began to be more closely and more formally articulated with normative prescriptions for sexuality. In this context, the public performance of femininity fell under renewed scrutiny, or a new kind of scrutiny, especially that of new disciplinary measures. Against this background, Araya's work on death uses the frame of a particular culturally located form of continued attachment in the wake of loss to outline counter-normative possibilities of attachment. I would argue that the artist avails herself of Buddhist form without, however, reproducing orthodox pedagogies around death. In Theravada Buddhism, the female corpse represents a privileged pedagogic tool, the contemplation of which is supposed to let the viewer understand and affectively experience the futility of attachment. However, Thai practices of engaging with the dead are marked by enduring attachments to the deceased. It is this domain of tension between the actual practices and Theravada doctrine's categorical demand for detachment that Araya mines for her performances. In dwelling on the erotic and extending desire beyond its physical possibilities, the artist issues a complaint about the possibilities of sexual choice and pushes the boundaries of expression for women toward more explicitly sexual forms. In the context of the Thai art scene, Araya has opposed herself to current neo-traditionalist trends in art that recuperate national or religious symbols, a phenomenon that she terms somewhat derisively Thai Put, the Buddhist Thai, not even bothering to make the compound into a real noun, such as Buddhist Thai-ness. She elaborates, "Artists who work in the genre of tradition are lauded as preservers and protectors of the Buddhist Thai. The wind never blows in the wrong direction for their work in this country." End of quote. However, although she opposes a certain opportunist or maybe pious use of Thai-ness and Buddhism in art, and although her work uses cosmopolitan and global references in media, it retains a central concern with speaking from the Thai context. Thus, as much as her work can be aligned with feminist video and body art, such as that of Carolee Schneeman, Tracy Moffat, Mona Hatoum, Louise Bourgeois, and especially Joan Jonas, and the artist herself makes references to all or most of these, it relies in equal measure on Thai literature, music, bodies, and social contexts. What the artist ultimately aims to outline by combining a particular trans aesthetics with the very located focus and references of her work is a Thai-inflected feminist model of desire with universal salience, or at least we can call it that for now. In the few lines that reviewers have to date devoted to Araya's work, there's still so little written about her, I think. They have overwhelmingly taken it to express Buddhist understandings of life and death, to portray care for the dead, nostalgia and loneliness, or to interrogate, quote, spiritual realities of the afterlife, end of quote. However, while they may do several of these things, Araya's videos more centrally link their scenes of death to desire, as her catalog titles expressly indicate. So for instance, Lament of Desire is one of the catalog titles. The relation between loss and desire in this art deserves further scrutiny and close attention to the relation between the sonic, visual, and conceptual aspects of her performances reveals a proliferation of affective registers besides grief throughout the entire oeuvre. Without explicitly referencing contemporary representational, political, or ritual contexts, Araya's art consistently brings into focus the absence of a state in which, quote, love and yearning do not have to hide, end of quote. Evident from the works themselves, from Araya's catalog texts, and from interviews with the artist, is that her videos contemplate possibilities of attachment by investing the domain of longing and mourning with feminist meaning, and by expanding it to previously unimagined objects. On the most immediate level, these performances convey the attachment to lost objects, or to loss as such. As scenes of loss and performances of continued attachment persist across frames, videos, and installations, Araya's work initially indeed seems overwhelmingly concerned with conveying sorrow. And I'll now take you through a little bit of the development of this art through that decade that she works in the morgue. Sorrow and longing for those who have passed are clearly part of the sentiment expressed especially in Araya's early work. In these videos, often shown under the title Tokheng Prathana, or Lament of Desire, the artist's engagement with the dead is solemn, and her movement in the morgue is marked by restraint. At their most sparse, the mise-en-scène of the early videos is completely unadorned and highlights the contrast between the hygienic properties of the brightly lit morgue with its hard surfaces and the details of the bodies of the dead in their various states. In addition, they focus on the artist's body, the symmetrical setup of the scenes, and frequently on the material qualities of the books or texts that the artist reads from. Relating to the dead solely through her voice and by how she positions herself spatially, the artist's performances are akin to rituals without, however, reaching the kind of conclusion that would be expected in a funeral rite. The often uniform repetitive movement and use of voice throughout the performances suggest the refusal of ritual or psychic closure. However, Araya's work still achieves something more besides showing an ongoing relation to loss that could be called melancholia. Even in these early works, the contrast between the scenes of literalized loss and the texts of classical poetry being recited, that you already heard in video number two, which are often passages of flirtation, allows sentiments other than grief to enter the morgue. In subsequent work, particularly that cataloged in Tamaitung Mi Rot Gawi Tan Kwam Ru Tan, Why Is It Poetry Rather Than Awareness, from 2002, this split between registers is intensified as Araya's reading to the dead turns into song and her movement among the dead becomes less tightly controlled. Her actions are now marked by greater intimacy as she incorporates an element of play into her performances and begins to dress the corpses, to sing to them, and to draw around them. As she brings color, textiles, and flowers into the mise-en-scène, her use of auditory effects also diversifies. She now sings Thai oldies, such as the 1960s songs of Suntharaphorn in Thai medley, reads from her own erotic writing, or simply improvises conversation with the dead. I think that this is actually work that she showed here at Haus der Kultur in der Welt in 2005 in an exhibition called Politics of Fun. It's from this period. And this was one more image from that phase. Finally, she addresses the issues of death and contingency on a kind of meta level in her series for the 2005 Venice Biennale. What emerges as a recurrent phenomenon of the entire oeuvre is that the artist's interactions with the dead become the canvas for a much wider affective range than solely that of grief, and that the plots she suggests in her performances invoke a multiplicity of interpersonal relations. Throughout Araya's work, the sphere of death, which especially in a Theravadan Buddhist context may be thought to exemplify the futility of erotic attachment, paradoxically becomes a space that allows for the staging of a variety of modes of attachment. Conversations among women. That Araya's sketches of non-normative attachment are centrally concerned with women and femininity is evident in the amount and quality of the attention that the videos pay to the female dead. Although she performs with men, women, and mixed groups, all pieces that focus on individuals depict bodies in detail or are constructed around the identity of the dead, concentrate on women and female bodies. She also says that she finds women the most natural addressees for conversations about love, attachment, and sexuality, and tries to replicate that in her videos. The morgue, as she describes it, thus comes to function as a sphere of shared sorrow, confidences, and pleasures in which the artist is free to hold, in quotes, conversations with the dead on topics that might not ordinarily find serious consideration in public discussion. Here the artist can present, quote, that which is left out as life proceeds, is forgotten, not paid attention to, that which one is ashamed to speak of, end of quote. She thus holds conversations with the dead that bring into view subjects ranging from betrayal, rivalry, and love suicide to multiple attachments and same-sex desire. It is through making contact with the dead in this way that Araya critiques constraints and forms of relating to the living. Okay. The film that you saw an excerpt from, Reading for a Female Corpse, was in 1998 installed under the title of Conversation of Two Women. This is a piece that is frequently cited by the artist herself, and I think it's one of the films that illustrates well how the performances in the morgue enable what Lauren Berlant has called minor intimacies. In Conversation, or as it was called before here, Reading, Araya reads to the corpse of a young woman. Filmed at a descending angle, the image of the young woman is slightly blurred. Only the upper half of her body is visible. She is lying in a drawer in the morgue that has been pulled out. Her head is propped up on a pillow and she is dressed in a colorful blouse or dress. There is blood on the pillow next to her head. The young woman is one of the dead whose beauty and biography of love-suicide compelled the artist to perform with and for her. To the left of the drawer, a white sheet of text indicates the performer's presence at the young woman's side. And this is one of the installation views in which this was shown, I think at Tengsta Kunsthall in Sweden. The English caption of Conversation of Two Women in the catalog reads, "In the second room, a conversation between two women. One is alive, one is dead. The sound is a conversation during a love scene between a man and his lover, their parting and the beginning of a new love," end of quote. So that is what you heard accompanying the film, the second film. As Araya recites a passage from the Inao, a classical Thai literary text that is derived from Javanese literature, that she references as authored by a woman, she reads the speech of the male lover to the dead woman. Directly addressing the young woman as a lover, the artist may be perceived to reenact the scene of attachment and desire in a gesture of consolation, or cruelly to underline the loss of life and loss of love that has occurred. But however one understands the video, it is clear that the movement of desire, as she calls it, of this reading, circulates among at least four persons: the artist, the dead woman, the male lover from the Inao, and the woman he speaks to. At least one of the movements of desire that occurs in the performance is between two women, the performer and the dead woman. When the performer directly addresses the dead woman as a lover, speaking traditional terms of endearment from classical Thai poetry, the video makes the desire between women its issue. The exact nature of this desire is left open, though. It is not lesbian desire per se that is depicted here. Rather, this scene can be read as a longing for the open-ended movement of desire that this particular object of address enables. The affective relation that becomes possible in the address of the classical text to the dead woman centrally includes homoerotic desire, yet it can be said to incorporate other forms of desire as well. This scene from Conversation illustrates how the performance of a particular form of continued attachment to a lost object can be correlated with affective relations or forms of desire that are either non-normative or not easily classified. In her video work, Araya thus creates a concise artistic language for intimacies that otherwise have no designation. The invocation of minor intimacies in this work relies especially on the diversification of address that the performance with the corpse of the young woman makes possible. The multiple significations that the passages from the Inao take on are further complicated by the camera perspective and by the installation mode in which Conversation is presented. In art historian Sai Yan Deng Glom's estimation, the static camera work of this video replicates the structures of the coffin, as well as strictures placed on femininity. I would argue that the video's stillness also functions to hold the viewer in place and to set her in a particular relation to the action on screen. In this installation, viewers are usually, we can see it here barely, viewers are usually invited to occupy a single chair facing the screen. Both the spatial positioning and the static camera perspective compel viewers to become a part of the mise-en-scène, addressing them as another counterpart in the scene of desire rather than merely onlookers. What is the fragrance of the video? I just wanted to briefly touch on the role and content of the poetry that she recites in a whole series of videos. Referring to a series of videos in which the artist reads passages of love poetry and nature admiration from the epic Inao to bodies in various arrangements, the artist says, "The fragrance of the flowers spread throughout the park in the poetry. The odor of the bodies spread throughout the room I was working in. What is the fragrance of the video?" End of quote. And at this point, I think we should go to another video that we haven't been able to show yet, which is called Reading for Male and Female Corpses, and it's from 1998. And we'll look at just a minute of it.
จะกล่าวบทไปถึงระเด็นมนตรีเรื่องสีเนาในหมันยาธานีกับสามนารีเป็นที่รักพระชมชิดพิชมจินตรากอดตะกองกัลยาไว้กับตับโลมรูปปริศดางพังเชยพักนางคอนควักผลักใสในทำนอง แล้วฉุดมือมายารัศมีมานั่งนี่นงเยาช่วยเกาขนองทำเอ็นอิงพิงทับประทุมทองนางเบียงบิดปิดประคองป้องกันพระตรัสชวนชมยงทรงต่อแต้มยิ้มแย้มเยาวยวนสรวนสันต่างองค์ลงไพ่เป็นเชิงชั้นงอนจริตบิดพันพาที ผู้ทอนประทานชันสลาให้ชมงามสามสุดามารสีนางหมอบกรานอยู่งานพัชนีถ้อยทีพิศวาสไม่คลาดคลาเมื่อนั้นชมยง
The way in which the artist deploys the poetry is different, I think, in every installation and every film. Sometimes you can barely hear the words, but in this case, and I think in some installations, you can hear the words quite well. So I just want to give you an example of the kinds of things that she is reciting or singing to the corpses. What we just heard is approximately, I will now tell of the illustrious prince residing in the city of Manya with the three women who are his beloved. He looks admiringly at the figure of Jintara from up close and holds the beautiful woman in his lap. He caresses her back while lifting her chin. She glances at him coquettishly and pushes him away in the way that women do. He then takes the hand of Maya Rasami. Come and sit with me, young one, and scratch my back. He pretends to lean on her voluptuous breasts. She twists away, shielding them with her arms. He invites them to play a card game with smiles, joking, and laughter. All play masterly hands despite coy manners. He offers the three women areca nut. They prostrate themselves while fanning and exchange affectionate words without missing a turn. That's approximately what we just heard now. So it's these kinds of passages that are scenes of flirtation that she often recites in the videos in which she uses classical Thai literature. So we saw the artist moving slowly through the room, pausing at individual gurneys while she is reading this passage about the prince Inao and his three lovers flirting before preparing to go on a pleasure trip. So more leisure, more pleasure, more flirtation is coming up in the passages afterwards. The viewer hears the performer read in an even voice, but in the standard mode of reciting Thai poetry with a melody. On the one hand, Araya's recitation of the scene of flirtation in the bleak setting of the morgue may be taken as an expression of sorrow. The female voice reciting this poetry to the numerous women and men in the morgue can thus be perceived as invoking the ideas of attachment to people not within reach, but also to women as well as to men and to many people at once, as much as to ordinary non-glamorous bodies or to love objects deemed undesirable. In this work, the work of this decade, Araya lays claim to the register of death to signal the sexual or to signal desire. Lamenting the lack of sex publics, of frameworks in which women can express and act on sexual desires, her work relies on the starkness of the morgue and the dead bodies to push into view the issue of women's desires, as well as to compel into national and international visibility the work of a Thai female artist in the first place. So I think that the deployment of the morgue and of the corpses has multiple functions in her work. And now, I think I want to come to what makes up the core effectiveness of this work on death. If the loss in Araya's performances is impersonal, we see her do this again and again over almost 10 years with different corpses and different arrangements. So if the loss here is impersonal, it would seem that her activities in the videos are not primarily those of a mourner, as most critics have argued, but rather those of a witness to the deaths of strangers. Sometimes she does incorporate some sort of photographs or tokens of personal memory. in the diocese of the actual videos and in the exhibitions. Thus, her performances are always situated on the seam between personal memory infused with sorrow and the use of the domain of death for stagings of attachment, play, and indeterminacy. Thus, throughout her videos, the dead represent inanimate objects that at the same time still signify as human. It is in this capacity that they become fundamental in creating scenes in which all of Araya's actions and her address to the dead acquire an ambiguous quality or a particular kind of mobility. This accounts for much of the core effectiveness of Araya's videos in this period. Through her interactions with the dead, she is able to perform other inequalities between lovers, between students and teachers, between women and men, and then ultimately, in her newer work, also between the supposedly sane and insane, animals and humans, farmers and art critics, and other such pairings, as well as the propensity of such dynamics to reverse. As Araya creates a generalized state of contingency, in its two partially competing meanings of open to chance on the one hand and subject to accident and loss on the other hand, she exploits the ambiguous status of the dead as well as the asymmetry of the relation between the living and the dead. If the artist's reading to the dead is a movement of desire and an impossible attempt to reverse a course of events, as she says, then it is these intentional confusions and disjunctures between the dead and the living, but also between the love poetry recited and the condition of those to whom it is addressed, that allow for a freedom of signification not otherwise available. In some of the work, I would say that from the early 2000s on, the conventions of play also become especially important. I'm Living is a video in which the artist plays dress up with a body of a young woman. And this is a video that David has also written about in his new book on Thai art that's available outside, right? Since we're pointing to each other's books. And as May mentioned before, in the critique and the reception of her work, there's been a kind of almost obsession with wanting to talk about the ethics of the work. And while I cannot evaluate the ethical import of the artist's engagement with the dead, I think it's really instructive to consider the issue of consent in this context, or even the performance of consent, if you will. In producing these video works with subjects who cannot consent, the artist enters a particular zone of risk and of polysemy, of a site in which multiple meanings are produced. Taking the dead as its subjects, Araya's video work of this period pushes the issue of consent into a terrain of utmost precarity and temporal complexity. The artist is working with subjects who still signify as human but can no longer consent to their involvement in this artwork. And then the artist's consent also becomes a question. Is she really choosing to do this work, or is she somehow compelled to keep going back to the morgue for almost 10 years and do this work? And is she really consenting to what will happen to her after she performs this work again and again and again? The artist's engagement with subjects whose status as subject is unclear and whose consent she cannot obtain thus calls into question the parameters of agency and the problematics of power even further. With the production of these videos, Araya enters a particular terrain of unknowability regarding her actions in the morgue, but also regarding the artist herself. This translates into a performance of radical risk and produces a field of polysemy or of multiple meanings for the performer's actions with the dead. I am most interested in how the artist's engagement with subjects whose status as subjects is unclear and whose consent she cannot obtain allows her to explore the mobility of desiring positions in a highly experimental way. And I think this becomes clear in I'm Living, in which the dynamics of play highlight the notion of such mobility. Placing countless outfits on the woman's body, the artist captions the video, "Paper doll lives in an exercise book, rooms drawn with lines, she is dressing," end of quote. Perhaps more than any other video, I'm Living exemplifies the taking on of multiple subject positions that play allows for. I am dressing her, I am being dressed by her. I want her to do something to me, she wants to do something to me. I'm living, I'm dead. I'm in control of the fantasy, I'm not. So I think this is one video that we can read as one in which that exemplifies the ways in which the subject's position in the scene of desire is not fixed but extraordinarily variable. Araya's work exemplifies this mobility of fantasy in very ideal terms. The objects slash subjects who become her counterparts in the scene of desire represent strong cases of non-agency and impersonality. The field of signification that the artist creates further allows for the performance of radical instability with regard to the subjectivity of the living woman of the artist herself or the performer herself in the videos. And the enacting of fluctuation in female subjectivity becomes a central component of the ideal envisioned by the artist. Araya's artistic strategy proved successful in provoking a discussion in Thailand, but not in ways that one might expect. Instead of outright opposition or surprise, her work was met with derision, especially from male artist colleagues and teachers who accused her of making art that revolves only around suan tua, or personal or private issues, instead of taking on socially relevant topics. Araya seized this opportunity to satirize her colleagues and to teach them and her readers about privacy, publicity, and women's sexuality in Thailand in the weekly column in Matichorn Weekly magazine in 2003-2004 that May has already pointed us to. Her colleagues' criticism also prompted her subsequently to perform the 9-day pregnancy while in her late 40s. It is thus not only in content, but also in contexts of reception, as well as in the artist's pedagogic reincorporation of reception, that the videos become part of a larger artistic, intellectual, and political project about female embodiment and sexual choice. And I think I'll end here, and then we can join the general discussion and talk more. Thank you so much.